Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and this is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll talk a little bit about what we're going to do in a moment, but I want to start out with a passage that I memorized many, many years ago, perhaps my favorite passage in the whole Bible, and it has to do with resurrection. You know, the Apostle Paul, along with the rest of the apostles, made it crystal clear that no middle ground exists. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is either history or it's a hoax, it's miracle or it's myth, it's fact or fantasy. And Paul says as much in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And by the way, so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he didn't raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So, if only for this life you have hope in Christ, you are to be pitied more than all men. Well, there's a man who was impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a man 2,000 years ago or a man 1,000 years ago, but a man in our epoch of time. And as a result of that, he wrote a book that has transformed so many lives. One of the greatest apologetic resources on the planet. This man is a good friend of mine. I've known him for over 25 years. His name is Lee Strobel, and he has now taken it to a new level with a movie. The movie is called The Case for Christ. It's premiering April 7th. And I believe this is going to be one of the great evangelistic tools, perhaps of all time, and I'm excited to have Lee Strobel with me on the broadcast. Lee, your book was unbelievable. The movie made me cry.
Oh, thank you, Hank. It's so great to be with you. You know, you played such a huge role when that book came out in 1998 in letting the world know about it. And I really credit, the fact that that book was able to have the ministry it has because you got out the word about the case for Christ. So I've always appreciated that and appreciated you and the Bible Answer Man and CRI. And we're thrilled with this film and the potential it has to help people understand not only the truth of the resurrection, but the clarity of the gospel. I'm praying that many will come to faith as a result.
Well, hopefully I'm not given to hyperbole here, but my personal reaction to this movie is it's the best Christian movie I've ever seen. And now it becomes this incredible apologetics tool as well. But it's about your life. It's about you and Leslie and Allison and Kyle. It's about your life and how you were transformed by looking at the evidence for the historic Christian faith.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was an angry atheist. Leslie, my wife, was agnostic. She came to faith in Jesus, and I thought that was the end of our marriage. I mean, I was going to walk out. I was going to divorce her. I didn't want her to be pulled into this Christian subculture where I wasn't welcome as an atheist. I didn't like the fact that all of a sudden there was another man in our relationship, this Jesus. I mean, where did he come from, and what's that all about? I saw conflict all the way to the horizon of our marriage in terms of how we were going to spend our weekends and our money and how we're going to raise our children. So I had a lot of anger as a result of that, and, you know, set out to use my journalism training and my legal training to try to get to the bottom of Christianity, hopefully so I could disprove it and rescue Leslie from this cult that she'd got involved in. And ironically, you'll get a kick out of this, Hank. I actually thought, you know, give me a weekend and I can disprove the resurrection. I figured, yeah, it'll take 2 days, you know. I'll be sipping a beer. I'll figure it out. It won't be that hard. Well, it took 2 years of research and ultimately coming to the conclusion that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is so powerful and so persuasive that I was not in a position, as someone trained to respond to evidence, I could not turn my back. I had to respond. I had to do what John 1:12 says and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
You know, Lee, when you and I talked about this movie, I thought, you know what, I love Lee, and his books are unbelievable, but I just can't picture this as a movie. Mm. When I saw the movie, all of a sudden my eyes were open to, wow, the power of this medium to communicate not just the gospel, but the facts that buttress the historic Christian faith. I want you to let the audience know just a little bit about the quality of the movie. I mean, this is not a B-rated Christian movie. I mean, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, you know, we're so honored to have Academy Award winners, Golden Globe winners, Academy Award nominees, Tony Award winners as actors in this film. Faye Dunaway, the Hollywood legend, is in the movie. I'm played by Mike Vogel, who is in Poseidon and Under the Dome and The Help, and is a great Christian brother. Who was actually influenced by the book in Bible college when he was in Bible college, and just does a great job. He plays me better than I play me, other than the fact that he has a great mustache that I could never grow. the quality of the film, the script by Brian Bird, who's written 17 movies and is a good friend of mine, and, you know, I made Brian promise at the outset he was going to be authentic and honest in this film, and he did. He produced an incredible script. Just the production values, you know, we recreated the newsroom of the Chicago Tribune where I worked in 1980, and the movie takes place in 1980. We rebuilt the newsroom on a soundstage in Georgia. And when I first was visiting and I walked onto that soundstage, it was almost like being in a time machine, transported back, you know, all those years to my job at the Chicago Tribune. It's kind of spooky. But, you know, the response we've gotten, standing ovations from test audiences, we showed it to a test audience of non-Christians, and they loved it. We had just word the other day that a youth leader in North Carolina invited some students to come with him to a test screening of the movie, and four of them came to faith in Jesus. So I think those are the first four of many that God's going to use this movie to bring into the faith.
You know what's cool about the movie is there's a sub-story or a subplot going on. There's a guy named Hicks.
Yep.
You're involved in him being convicted, and there was this line in the movie that just tore my heart out where he was beat up. He was in a hospital room. You walk in, and you apologize to him because you helped convict him. You said, "I missed the truth," and he says, "You didn't want to see it." And how that subplot plays into the entirety of the movie with respect to not wanting to see that Christ was, in fact, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a two parallel stories of this case that I investigated for the Chicago Tribune, where a young man was accused of shooting a police officer. Now, the police officer was shot, but it turns out he was shot by a pen gun, which is a gun that's made to look like a fountain pen that he had in his pocket. And it was illegal for him as a police officer to carry that pen gun. And so he blamed this young man for shooting him. And of course, all the evidence pointed toward the guilt of this young man. And so I kind of blew it off as I was looking into the case because, hey, the guy had a criminal record and he's a gang member. And yes, he was tussling with a police officer. And they did find his gun with a bullet missing and his fingerprints on it. Open and shut case that he's guilty. Well, you know, sometimes you have to look deeper than just the surface. And if you look deeper in the than the surface and you find the pen gun theory, all of a sudden it explains everything away, and you realize this is an innocent man who's been convicted of this crime. And then, of course, in the film, he gets beat up in prison. And, you know, I feel a sense of responsibility because had I exposed this earlier, you know, this never would have happened. But that you're right. Those words haunt me, too. You know, you weren't looking for the truth. You didn't want to see it. And so how often that is true when we look into spiritual matters. And even in my investigation of Christianity, you know, I tried to maintain an open mind, but, you know, I had a motive to find it that wasn't true because I really wanted to get Leslie out of this cult that she got involved in. So, yeah, that case, you know, was a powerful moment in my life. You know, when you add that to the story of the spiritual journey, to the marriage, to the story of my father and a difficult relationship I had with him, and how that kind of pushed me down the road toward atheism, I think the film operates on several levels, not just on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level, a human level. It's a very real, raw, honest story that I think people will be able to relate to.
Dr. Lee Strobel, he is an award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He is the best-selling author of The Case for Christ and many other cases for, like The Case for a Creator and The Case for Grace. You know, Lee, I didn't even introduce you at the beginning of the interview because I almost feel like you need no introduction anymore. I mean, this book, I mean, worldwide has sold something like 14 million copies. And then all the books that have come subsequently that have changed people's lives, it's absolutely stunning. But this story, the Case for Christ story, actually starts as a result of you and Leslie almost losing your young daughter, Allison.
Yeah, you know, in the movie, they dramatize it. It happened in a slightly different way in real life. But in the movie, we depict it with going to a restaurant and little Allison, who was just, you know, 5 years old or so at the time, got a gumball that got caught in her throat. And back then in 1980, didn't know about the Heimlich maneuver, what to do. And we thought she was going to die right there in our arms. And a Christian nurse in the movie named Alfie, in real life, she's a Christian nurse named Linda, rescues Allison, saves her life. And that begins a relationship between Leslie and Alfie that ultimately results in Leslie going to church with Alfie and hearing the gospel and then responding to it.
And you start to figure that your wife is in a cult.
Yeah.
Essentially, she's been conned. This is all a money game.
Right.
You know what's going on. You have the hardened, skeptical perspective of a journalist, an investigative journalist at that, and you're not going to let this happen. So you,
right,
as I've known you to do with a lot of things, you grab this like a bulldog. You're not going to let go of this until you have demonstrated that this is a ruse.
Yeah. That's exactly my motive at the time, you know, and I remember there's a scene where we're sitting in a car and, you know, we had this tumultuous era of our marriage because of this unequally yoked relationship. And of course, the Bible warns against unequally yoked relationships for good reason, because it does lead to turmoil so often. And in the movie, and which was virtually verbatim from real life, I told Leslie, I said, you know, if this is going on 2 years from now, I'm not going to be here. You know, I wasn't going to stick around. I wasn't going to live through, you know, the strains of this kind of marital discord, because she was being pulled into this cult that I didn't understand and wanted her out of. So, you know, we all you know, have different motives when we begin searching spiritually. And I have to confess, mine weren't entirely clean motives. You know, it was my desire that I could have been the hero that rescued her and got her out of this church.
Dr. Lee Strobel again, the book, The Case for Christ, but that's not why we're doing the show. The movie, The Case for Christ, coming out April 7th. By the way, if you have not read The Case for Christ, a journalist's personal investigation of the evidence for Jesus, you need to read it. And you can get a copy from the Christian Research Institute for your support of the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Lee Strobel has written for the Christian Research Journal. He's been on broadcast with me for over 25 years. He's the absolute real deal. You don't want to miss the movie. This is a grand opportunity in a post-truth culture to take a friend that does not believe to a movie that will most definitely impact them. A movie that God can use to transform an atheist like Lee and your friend who might be an atheist as well, or someone who simply doesn't want to have anything to do. And a lot of millennials are in that camp, doesn't want to have anything to do with the Christian faith. We're going to be right back with Lee Strobel in just a moment, so please don't touch that dial.
Modern board and card games offer a means for social interaction as well as creative and ethical decision-making. But Christians should not participate in activities closely mimicking forbidden and evil behavior. How can Christians determine which board games are suitable for them and their family? Read The Ethics of Modern Board and Card Games by Richard J. Poupard in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish, and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come.
But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and you've tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We kind of call this a deep dive edition. We're talking to Lee Strobel. He's the author, of course, of The Case for Christ and many other books in that genre. He's written many other books as well, but he wrote The Case for Faith, The Case for a Creator, The Case for Grace, and God has used him all over the world as an ambassador for the truth and grace and love that can only change the human heart. The love of Christ that takes a heart of stone and turns it to a heart of flesh. And the movie, The Case for Christ, is really while we're on the air today. It premieres April 7th, and it will be one of the great apologetic tools of all time. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And Lee, when I talk about all of your credits, I mean, you've written so many bestsellers, and now you have a movie that's going to be absolutely incredible, transformational, worldwide. People see you only from the perspective of all your successes. And you and I were neighbors in California. I know a little bit of the backstory. I know about some of the very difficult circumstances of your life, times where you almost died. I want you to tell people about how this for you is not an enterprise. This is really about having an eternal perspective. You are only going to be on this planet for so many years, and then you'll stand before God, and the only thing that'll matter then is not whether you sold 14 million copies of The Case for Christ and many other books, as grand as that is, but will God say, well done, good and faithful servant? In other words, the thing that I'm trying to elicit right now is how significant it is for you or anyone else to have an eternal perspective.
You know, it makes all the difference in the world. I can honestly look back on 5 years ago at the darkest valley that I ever went through, and thank God that it happened, because it was through that he has sharpened my eternal perspective and redoubled my commitment to evangelism and to trying to help people find Christ before it's too late. 5 years ago, Leslie found me unconscious on our bedroom floor. I woke up in the hospital after the ambulance took me there. And the doctor looked at me and said, you're one step away from a coma and two steps away from dying. And so I had a condition called hyponatremia, which is a severe drop in my blood sodium level. And it results in mental confusion, hallucinations, coma, seizures, and then death. And I was it was so low that it was doubtful I would recover. And even if I did recover, there was a good chance that I'd be mentally disabled as a result. Because what happens is your brain takes in moisture, their brain cells, and your brain expands. And, of course, it's in the cranium and has no room to expand. And so brain damage often results from this condition. So I was on, you know, death's doorstep for several days, and learned a lot of lessons through that. And one of the key moments happened when my son Kyle, who has a PhD in theology, came to me and said, "Dad, I sense in the midst of your confusion and the difficulty here that you feel distant from God in the midst of this." I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Let me help you." And so he led me in a prayer exercise where we prayed, and it took about a half an hour, and he just guided me through this prayer exercise where we one by one, I stripped away all the identities that you typically come to God. You know, when we come to God in prayer, often we come wearing these identities of certain success or certain achievements, and we don't articulate it, but that's part of our demeanor with which we come to God. And so one after one, we prayed, and I said, "God, you know, I, at this moment, I'm not an author. I'm not my bank account. I'm not successful. I'm not a husband. I'm not a grandfather. I'm not a father." And we just slowly stripped away all these identities until at the end, all that was left was me as a redeemed, adopted son of the Most High, just me as a saved sinner in front of God. And that I just reconnected with God at that level, and it was very profound, and has really changed the way that I pray and changed the way that I relate to God. And then when you're looking over that cliff into the abyss of leaving this life, it just gives you the kind of attitude that, you know, the most important thing I can do in this world is to tell people that, you know, there is hope. There is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is a relationship with God that can begin in this world and then be in a more perfect state in the world to come. There is redemption. There is change. There is hope. I mean, that's the key word. I did a book once called The Case for Hope. And, you know, it all comes back, as you know, to the resurrection, because the Bible talks about how our hope is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus. It is based on the truth of that historical event that we can have confidence that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and that as he has conquered death and as he has opened heaven for all those who follow him, that we would have eternal life with him as well. So, you know, you go through these valleys, and of course, Leslie has suffered with health issues, you know, for decades now. There's not a day that goes by that she's not in chronic pain. And, you know, those are the challenges of life. Those are the valleys we go through. But, you know, we find God in those valleys. We find hope in those valleys. We find faith in those valleys. And, you know, so it doesn't become just an intellectual academic pursuit of facts and data. But it is a genuine, heartfelt pursuit of the God who loves us, who made us, who sent his son to die for us, and who wants to have a relationship with us forever.
You know, one of the great things just a couple of weeks ago when I saw you and Leslie was how wonderful both of you looked. I mean, you looked content.
Yeah.
You looked content. You obviously very much in love, but you looked very, both of you. I mean, I have never seen Leslie glow like the couple of days I saw you in Orlando.
I think this, you know, we're at that age now where, you know, I'm closer to age 70 than age 60. And Leslie's not far behind. And you know, I got my Medicare card. And you get to that age where it's beyond the age at which my father died. He died at 64. And you're in that land beyond where your own parents lived. In these kind of times, you look back and you see God's faithfulness in our lives. I mean, we look back and we see, you know, here I was this drunken, narcissistic, hedonistic, self-absorbed, self-destructive guy, atheist, who, you know, had great success in journalism, but people didn't know that literally on Saturday night, I was drunk in the snow in an alley. And, you know, to see God's faithfulness in redeeming me from that, and then allowing me, I mean, this is one of the great things about apologetics and evangelism and what CRI does. You know, the fact that God allows us to play a role in this great redemptive drama that he's unfolding around the planet, that he uses the likes of us, these redeemed sinners, to be bearers of this good news that there's hope and redemption through Christ. And there's evidence that this isn't make-believe and fantasy and wishful thinking, but it's based on a solid foundation of historical reality. I mean, what a privilege God has given us to be purveyors of this message. That's where I draw a lot of my joy from. You know, I get to spend the best hours of my life telling people about Jesus. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Talk about the role of Leslie's prayers. That's a very dominant theme in the movie, and I know I have been in many ways a product of my wife's prayers, and I think the same thing is true. I mean, if you look through this movie at a dominant theme, it is that you have a wife, comes to faith in Christ, and is continuously praying, God, take Lee's heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh.
You know, you're exactly right. And I didn't know this was going on at the time. Of course, I was off doing my own thing and pursuing the evidence and the facts. But behind the scenes, Leslie had told some women at church, she said, I don't have any hope for my husband. He is a hard-headed, hard-hearted legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He's never going to come to faith in Christ. And this one woman named Sylvia kind of put her arm on Leslie's shoulder and pulled her aside, and she said, oh, Leslie, no one is beyond hope. And she gave her a verse from the Old Testament that you've been referencing, Ezekiel 36:26, that says, moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so Leslie took that prayer, and it touched her heart so much, Sylvia's words, that she prayed that verse for me every day, that whole 2 years that I'm on the spiritual investigation, checking out the historical data concerning the resurrection. She's behind the scenes praying this prayer. And, you know, I don't understand everything about prayer, but I believe James when he says the prayers of righteous people make a difference. And I believe that prayer made a difference. You know, I like what Mother Teresa said. You know, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I stop, they don't. You know, and she prayed for me, and God opened my heart. You know, if you ask me today, what was it that resulted in my conversion? Was it the evidence in the 2 years I spent checking it out, or was it the prayers of a faithful wife behind the scenes? Yeah, I'm not so sure it's the investigation. I think it's probably much more resides with Leslie.
Yeah, one of the lines in the movie, and I want to talk about that when we come back from the break, is when is enough evidence enough evidence? And then I want to kind of take you through the theme of the movie as you start to uncover the evidence, which is so irrefutable that you can legitimately say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not only the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history, but it is faith that we can have founded or grounded in a refutable fact. More with Lee Strobel when we come back from the break. Of course, we're talking to Lee because one of the epic events taking place in April will be April 7th. When the movie The Case for Christ opens up. If you have not read Lee's book, The Case for Christ, it's available for anyone who supports the ministry. Just check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I thought the book was unbelievable. And again, if you haven't read it, you have to read it. But the movie, Beyond My Wildest Expectations. It is, you know, it is one of those movies I kept watching thinking there's got to be something wrong with it somewhere. I mean, this is the best Christian movie I've ever seen. Not only that, but it is a movie that is a compelling storyline that ultimately leads one to the one who knit them together in their mother's womb. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of Lee Strobel.
C.S. Lewis once said, "Good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason because bad philosophy needs to be answered." These words are more relevant than ever in our post-truth culture, which is unable to diagnose sin for lack of a Christian worldview. The article, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, by Donald T. Williams, shows why throwing down our weapons is betrayal, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations, and to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Paul and Ethel Gould share three ways they have taught their kids apologetics effectively without them even knowing it. Don't miss three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Now, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And this is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're talking to Lee Strobel about the movie premiere, The Case for Christ. That's coming up April 7th. It will be one of the great events in apologetics history, quite frankly, because this will be a movie used by God to change the lives of millions of people. It is an absolutely fantastic movie. Seldom have I watched a movie that I got this excited about. I say without equivocation, it's the best Christian movie I've ever watched. The quote of the day, by the way, comes from Lee Strobel, who said, "Using my journalism experience and legal training, I investigated the most audacious claim of history, that Jesus of Nazareth returned from the dead and thus authenticated his claim to being the unique Son of God. I thought it was only going to take a short time to dismiss the story as a complete hoax, a myth, a misunderstanding. Instead, the more I delved into the historical evidence, the more convinced I became that Jesus did return to life on the third day. There was, in the words of Sir Lionel Lukow, the world's most successful lawyer, absolutely no doubt. Based on the evidence, I abandoned atheism and I embrace Jesus as my forgiver, leader, and my friend." I want to talk about some of that evidence that you looked at, Lee. One of the great, great stories in the movie is how you started looking at the fatal torment of Jesus Christ. And I think if I recall correctly, in the movie you were saying, you know, there's a 1.5 billion Muslims that don't believe that Jesus Christ ever suffered fatal torment. And if he didn't suffer fatal torment, then there's no case for resurrection.
Yeah, I really thought that was kind of the escape hatch, you know, that if he didn't die on the cross, like the Muslims believe, I think it's Surah 4, 156, verse 156, it says that Jesus didn't die on the cross, then bingo, you've solved the whole problem of the empty tomb and the appearances and everything. Well, that soon collapsed when you begin to analyze the evidence for the crucifixion of Jesus. You find that not only do we have multiple sources in the documents that make up the New Testament, sources right back from the first century, as opposed to the, 600 years later for the Quran, but we got 5 ancient sources outside the Bible confirming and corroborating his death. You know, you have Josephus, Tacitus, Lucian, Maribar Serapion, and even the Jewish Talmud admits that Jesus is executed. In fact, no less of a scientific journal than the Journal of the American Medical Association did an analysis of the historical and medical evidence for the execution of Jesus and concluded that he was most certainly dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted. So, you know, this idea that Jesus somehow survived the cross is just absurd. And I realized that fairly quickly, but, you know, I had to be convinced. But, you know, one thing I didn't notice in particular when I was reading the account in the New Testament, he kind of glossed over the fact that before Jesus was crucified, he was flogged by Roman soldiers. And as you know, that's an incredibly brutal beating that he endured with whips that had ragged bits of sheep bone and balls of lead woven into the whips. And, you know, there was an eyewitness to a Roman flogging who said that the sufferer's veins were laid bare and the very muscles and tendons and bowels of the victim were laid open to exposure. So this was, you know, he was in critical condition after that beating, much less than being nailed to the cross and dying by asphyxiation, which you can't really fake. So, you know, this idea that Jesus somehow survived this is just fantasy land. And then it's topped off by the fact that, let's say he did. Well, what condition would he have been in when he appeared to the disciples? He would have been so beaten, so ragged, so thoroughly thrashed and tortured that they wouldn't have launched a worldwide movement based on the bold proclamation that, oh boy, someday we're going to be resurrected and have resurrection bodies too. They would have called 911 and taken him to the hospital. So, you know, this idea that he survived, it falls apart from every angle.
There's so many lines of documentation that you look at. One of your escape hatches, another one of your escape hatches, I should say, were the women at the tomb. I mean, you had read the biblical accounts, and you had seen that they don't seem to cohere very well. There are different stories in the Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of John, and so one of those stories has to be wrong. At least that's what you thought.
That's what I thought until I was set straight that this resonated with me when I was told, you know, when you have multiple witnesses to an event, you expect their core story to be very consistent, but they may emphasize different things in the secondary details. Not that they're conflicting, but that they may emphasize different things. And I knew that as a journalist, that when I covered an event at the Chicago Tribune, I could read my story, and then the Sun-Times and the Daily News and the Chicago Today newspapers would do their stories, and we'd all kind of look at it from a different angle. It didn't mean they were contradictory. It just meant that we may have been emphasizing different things. But the core of the story is the same, and that's what historians look at.
Yeah, another line in the movie that just comes to mind, at least an idea, is, are feelings a valid test for faith? That comes up in the movie.
Yeah, you know, to me, you know, truth is that which is coheres with reality. And it's independent of our feelings, regardless of what I think about. I think the line in the movie is the fact that I hate mosquitoes doesn't eliminate them from planet Earth. I mean, they are still there, even though I hate them. My emotions do not affect the reality that they're here. And so that's why it's important that we can look at the historical data for the resurrection, and we compare the sources. And, you know, what shocked me, because as I would look at ancient history, I would notice that, you know, we're lucky if we have one or two sources to confirm a fact. And yet for the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus, we have no fewer than 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the risen Jesus. That is an avalanche of historical data. That's not a small, that's not a rumor from ancient history. That's a well-supported historical event.
But you have another escape hatch. At least in the movie, you were talking about the fact that this could have been mass hallucination.
Right. And, you know, in real life, I consulted an expert on hallucinations and the human mind, a PhD who had taught psychology in a major university for 20 years and was the president of a National Association of Psychologists. In the movie, that character is played by Faye Dunaway, the famous actress. But she sets me straight because the reality is hallucinations happen in individual minds. They're like dreams. They don't spread like the common cold. And so this is why you can't wake up your spouse in the middle of the night and say, honey, wake up. I'm having this great dream about a vacation in Hawaii. Let's both go back to sleep. We'll have the same dream. We'll save all the airfare and we'll save all the hotel costs. We can't do that. Why? Because dreams happen in individual minds, and the same is true of hallucinations. In fact, the line that Dr. Gary Collins, the psychologist who I interviewed, told me at the time was, 500 people having the same hallucination at the same time would be a bigger miracle than the resurrection itself. And, of course, we have the report of 500 people seeing the resurrected Jesus in the earliest report that we have of the resurrection, which is from an ancient creed that has been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. So, you know, we've got something that discounts the claim that this might be a legend, because we have reports that come too quickly to explain it away as just being mythology or legend.
Dr. Lee Strobel, he's the author of The Case for Christ, and now The Case for Christ, the movie. And we'll be able to see it on the big screen, theaters everywhere, starting April 7th. You know, Lee, as people are driving home, or walking home, they've seen the movie. They're going to be seeing it in so many different formats over the years to come. But after they've seen the movie, what do you hope their conversations will be like?
You know, I hope they focus on that verse that really brought me to faith at the end. After I saw the evidence, after I realized that it's true, the key verse that was used to bring me to faith is John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And that equation, we hope, you know, we popularize it in the film, and we're hoping it becomes a meme that spreads around the planet. Believe plus receive equals become. It's important that we believe the right stuff, and that Jesus is who we claim to be. He died for our sins, that salvation is a free gift that we cannot earn. We need to receive it in grace and so forth. But there has to be a time when we do receive this free gift of God's grace. We do receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And when we do that, then John 1:12 says we become a child of God. And, you know, the Bible says even the demons believe, but they shudder. It's not enough just to have intellectual assent. So I hope that people walk away from this film understanding that as important as it is, and it is important that we have the right doctrine, that we believe the right things, that we understand Jesus is who we claim to be, that is reality, we then have to take that step of faith. But it's a logical step of faith because it's in the same direction that the evidence is pointing. And that is so important because that's logical and rational to take a step of faith if the arrows of the evidence are pointing in the same direction as they are for the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, Lee, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I've known you for 25 years, and I am just so proud in a sanctified sense of what the Lord has done with your life. Having known you intimately and personally, I can tell the audience you're the real deal, and I pray that God really blesses this for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
Well, you're so kind, and thank you for the great influence you've had on my life in so many ways, personally and ministry-wise, professionally, with your great ministry and the impact it's had on me all these years. I feel in many ways like you mentored me in apologetics from afar through your radio show for years. And I know that a lot of listeners feel the same way. So we're grateful to you and how God uses you and CRI in this great broadcast.
Well, Lee, thank you for a great edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're all looking forward to April 7th. And do remember that what we're talking about here is that Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed arisen from the dead. And as a result of that, scared, scattered disciples were utterly transformed. And this is the operative word, the prayer that through this movie, millions of lives will be transformed. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we do what we do because life and truth matter. Check out The Case for Christ. It's available for your gift on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife,
what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.